That's what I'm talking about. That's a crisp, clear, clean sound right there from these new headphones. Excellent. Well done. Well done, Rick Emerson, on your new purchase. The best thing about walking through Fry's is the idea. You realize walking through Fry's Electronics that if you wanted to, you could furnish your entire life from that store. Everything you need as a man is right there.
I don't want to go home yet.
No. I always go to Fry's for a specific product. You know what I mean? I don't really ever go to Fry's to just browse as such. You know, I think women do that. Women go, what are they, window shopping or whatever they call it. I'm just going to go look at stuff. I know it's early in the show, and it's not even Flash Friday yet, so I don't want to start talking about generalizations about women, but you know this is true, that women go out sometimes, what are you going to buy? I don't know, I'm just going to look. And women, I learned that lesson early on, that if you ever go clothes shopping with women, it's better just the day before to toss yourself off a cliff and die. Because you're going to walk around the mall for like 9 hours. They're going to try on a bunch of outfits they're never going to buy. They're going to try a bunch of things on and stare at themselves in a mirror. And then you're going to go home and they're never going to have purchased a single thing. That's the lesson I learned when I was a younger man. So men don't really do that. Though when I go to Fry's, it's for a specific item. But the great thing about it is while you're there to buy your headphones, your vibrating Xbox chair, your case of Kit Kats, whatever it is, the realization that you could, if you wished, spend your entire paycheck there and furnish your entire home. So it was last night with these new headphones, which are fantastic. All right, it's 2 minutes and 8 seconds after the hour of noon, and this the month of July in the year of our Lord 2006. Thank you for coming along, making it a part of your listening day. Live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio, this, my friends, is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. We appreciate your patronage and presence on this Friday. If you'd like to join us today, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com.
What?
You got a weird look on your face today.
Nothing's making any sense to me.
You're just sitting there and you're squinching up your face and you're just looking sort of alternately irritated and puzzled by everything that's happening around you today. Like a cat with a particularly large ball of string that it doesn't quite know how to start on.
You didn't have to sit there and listen to Laura Caviezel talking for 20 minutes
and then
about MySpace today.
Got this pain all up and down my left side.
Seriously, I was fine until then.
Yes. Well, now you see why I don't call her.
Yeah, now Scotty J's calling her.
Scotty, from now on, you're calling Laura Caviezel at CNN.
Twice a day.
We should have a listener do it. We'll just get a listener every day and have the listener call. How would she know? She's too busy talking about her cats and her impending nuptials.
This is true.
You know what I'm talking about. All right. Anywho, it's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. It also looks like you should be dealing a poker game somewhere in Tucson. With that outfit? No, you've kind of got a... It's kind of a rockabilly sort of a thing. Don't you agree, Tim? Sarah's got
something of a southwestern flavor.
It is. You've got sort of an Arizona flair. It's not bad. I'm just saying, you look like one, like you ought to be with a guy who has like a ducktail and is playing an upright bass somewhere.
Some of that turquoise jewelry, a turquoise bolo?
Yes, you'd covered in sand, and you'd be his dame, and he'd be your fella.
Let's build a fence to keep them Mexicans out.
Oh.
See, that was the one step too far there. All right. 503-733-2970.
What is...
I don't, Carol, this whole day has gone badly. We're going to stop the show and start over again in a second.
I hate it when you do this.
We have to. Carol from the front desk is sliding. She's sliding commercial traffic forms under my door. She slid me now traffic information for sleep. Traffic, by the way, in the radio world does not refer to roads and highway usually. I mean, there's a traffic reporter, and he's the guy that comes on and has some kooky name like wrong way something or one way U-turn something or other. And he's always in a helicopter. Even though everybody knows whether the traffic is bad, it's always bad. It's bad every day. It's going to be bad every day. That's just the way it is. And traffic, though, in radio, it internally means the person who is traffic is the tracking, playing, scheduling, and verifying of commercial announcements that play during what we call a stop set or a commercial break. Carol from the front desk is sliding traffic information for Sleep Country USA. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I don't know what this is for. I'm going to put this over here. All right, we're going to stop and start over. That's the last time we're going to do it, though. From today on, every broadcast, flawless, without errors, perfect, a model of efficiency.
Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep begins now.
Oh, hello.
All right. It is the Rick Emerson program. If you would like to be part of today's broadcast, if you'd like to be part of the flawlessness, that is, it is 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Speaking to you through the Electro Voice RE20, the finest vocal transducer known to man. And using my new headphones, which are... These are the Sony MDR-V6s. These are essentially the ones that have replaced the MDR-7506, which did serve me. They kept me in good stead for 5 years. We are joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon.
Hello.
Hi. How long did you spend on the phone with Laura Caviezel from CNN today?
Roughly 20 minutes. I could not get the guests booked. I kept trying to sneak it in as she was asking me how to change the color on her MySpace page.
You're kidding me.
I am not kidding.
Her MySpace page doesn't even have a photo.
I know. I still don't know what she looks like. You know what she looks like?
Who?
Laura Caviezel?
Maybe.
I've Googled her and I couldn't find any pictures.
It seems wrong that we're sitting here talking about Laura Caviezel and her appearance.
Well, why is it a bad picture?
Maybe.
I'm dying to know what she looks like.
Well, we'll talk about it later.
Okay.
It seems like that might be, you know, that might be over the line. Laura Caviezel's not really a public figure in any real way. It's not like you're dating her. No, I'm saying you talk about Nate on the air.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but there's a difference. You're not...
Well, Laura's become a part of the show, though.
Yes, I suppose. Okay, coming up today, Bushwatch, Jackson Watch. Worst show ever. Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com is going to be here. Enemy of the People we will get through today. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop is finally booked after 20 minutes of hearing Laura talk about her wonderful fiancé and all the various things she likes to do in her MySpace account to keep up with the children. We've also got Gary Baumgarten who's going to be joining us today. Now, theoretically speaking, this is what we've had to do. You think that at this point, you think that there'd be some sort of payoff for listening through 20 minutes of tedious, anecdotal pointlessness about Laura Caviezel's life? Because here's the thing. I don't mean to sound caustic about this. But, I mean, we try to be efficient here. All outward appearances to the contrary. I come in, I have the CNN prep sheet in my hand. I circle the people we want to get on the show. I hand it to Sarah. Sarah picks up the phone. Sarah calls CNN. Once upon a time, that would be the end of it. You would call CNN and they would say, "Hello, Portland, how can we help you today?" You'd say, "Hey, I want that kooky Jim Roop at 1:30. He's talking Emmys. We want to be a part of it." And they'd say, "Okay, book Jim Roop, 1:30, Emmys. Gotcha. Bing." And then we would hang up the phone and we'd go on our merry way. Not now. Those days have passed. Now you call CNN, and to Laura Caviezel, it's like one big coffee clatch. You guys have just, you've got, it's like a sewing circle or something you guys have got going over. And it's not even, it's like talking to Bobby Dooley. Because it's not even a two-way conversation. It's just Sarah sitting here going, mm-hmm. While Laura Caviezel just goes on and on and on about, what was it today? Her MySpace account?
Yes, her MySpace page. And some musician that she's going to see with her fiance this weekend that you would just love.
I think I hate that too.
Yeah.
You gotta see him live.
She was telling me all about him and his classical piano playing skills. And she's like, your show
would love
it.
Or the guest? Or the musician?
The musician.
Whatever. Anyway, so we had to lie and say that we wanted Gary Baumgarten about the New Jersey budget, because that's what we all really care about. It's really about this guy who was attacking. CNN could really use someone to point them in the direction of stories that people actually care about. Because think about it, really, I mean, we talked about the fact that casinos were closed, because that was kind of interesting. But really, unless you are a resident of Trenton, and God help you if you, unless you're one of the bridge and tunnel set, what do you really care about the budget in New Jersey? Even people in New York don't care about the budget in New Jersey. What they really ought to be having is Gary Baumgarten talking about this guy who was holding a teddy bear and swinging two power saws on a subway. I mean, it doesn't really take a genius to figure out which of those is the most compelling story. Well, whatever. So he'll be on. He thinks he's coming on to talk about the budget. We're going to talk about the guy killing people with a saw on the subway. So that's all on the way. Later on today, we will endeavor to get a top five done as well. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for you today.
Well, we're all trying to say whether or not to see Pirates of the Caribbean, because some people don't like it.
Scott Daly from Film People Radio will be on later. He will have his own assessment of that.
Ha, 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 laughed the Columbine killers in their just-released diaries.
Yes, there's been an arrest in the power cell on the subway rampage of a madman in New York. And a doctor allegedly tells his patient, why don't you just go kill yourself?
All right, then. Cutting right to the chase. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Let's see. Tim in Southeast emails in and says, Rick, your idea about having a listener call Laura Caviezel, I would be willing to do that Monday if I can then sit in the studio. I would even bring cookies.
She's off on Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah, so it's a guy named Tyler on Mondays and Tuesdays, so that's a whole lot of nowhere. All right, I was going to have some Coca-Cola Black or Coke Black, Coke, whatever it's called.
Coke Black.
Coke Black. That just seems like it's, you know, a billboard that says, was it Black Coke? Coke Black.
It's Coke Black.
With a K.
Yes.
All right. I don't know because I couldn't find any. I went to three different stores last night. This is the lengths I'm willing to go to for the people and for the radio program. I went to three different stores and I couldn't locate it anywhere. First of all, I thought they would have it at Fry's because Fry's is just for, I mean, let's be honest. I was shopping there too. So Fry's is for overweight and underweight guys who are pale and don't get laid a lot. That's what Fry's is for. It's why I was there last night.
Yeah, they have an enormous candy selection.
They written, no, everything there is just designed to keep you awake and growing. You know what I mean? It's just, you are some sort of human mushroom if you shop at Fry's because you live in a dark windowless room all the time and you just spend all of your time clicking on things and getting larger. And so I thought that they would have Coke Black and they did not. I then went to Safeway thinking they would have Coke Black and I went, because it's confusing when you go to the supermarket now because they got a whole separate aisle. Because all soft drinks now have some sort of an energy drink variant to them. And so I was at Safeway and there's Tab, and then on a different aisle there's Tab the energy drink. And then there's like a Mountain Dew, and then there's like a Mountain Dew energy drink that's another aisle. And then there's like the Rockstar, and then there's like three different kinds of Red Bull. No Coke Black. And then I went to Plaid Pantry. No Coke Black. It apparently can't be found anywhere. And so Laura was speculating that it is actually so horrid it's already been taken off the market. But it remains to be seen if that's the case. So if you all know, it's probably too late to get any for today. I'm just saying if you all know how to track some down. It's lost. The bit has lost all of its punch now. Because I was just going to start this program and say, look, listen what I've got. And then open on the air. Then we would all drink it and see if it was in fact repellent. Now it's going to be all anticlimactic, but it's become a thing. It's in my Franklin as a to-do, and so I got to get it done. We will try to get to the aforementioned things today. Scott Daly, all of that, like us at 3 with Flash Friday. Don and Mike at 7, etc. Let us get underway as we always do. Tim Riley is at the City Desk.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour. And now, from the City Desk, Tim Riley.
From high top to bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News. Beat Tim Riley reporting. Okay, who watched Rockstar Supernova last night?
I did. Is that your microphone or is that
your
my
microphone
headphones?
Sounds really weird.
My microphone sounds really
no,
weird.
No, it sounds like you're cracking up.
Yeah,
got a little burn at the top.
Yeah, he's at the same level, too.
Am I still burning up?
You are. Yeah. Everything in this studio is falling apart. We've entered. This is some sort of.
How about now?
No, you sound like a 50s news reporter.
Hitting the microphone will probably not make it function correctly. The engineering department should know that I do not advocate the hitting of the microphone with the ball of your hand to try to fix whatever's wrong with it.
That's, so, something is amiss here?
Maybe. It just sounds like it's got a little top-end sizzle to it. You can hear that? Sounds like it's cracked. Can you hear that?
No.
You're deaf. You can't hear anything.
Let me crank this up.
No, that's... Okay, turning your headphones
testing
up.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
That sounds really bad.
Is this week over yet? Can I go home?
Yeah, you're right.
Rick, you've got to be optimistic.
I'm saying, came in yesterday, ready to... Ah, crap, my headphones don't
work. Stand by for the worst show ever. Oh, I hear it now.
That's what I'm saying. The problem with being deaf is... The problem with being deaf like Tim... it was just sort of a black like me thing, except it's not about being black. It's about being deaf. The problem with being deaf like Tim is that you're not entirely deaf. You just lose the upper register. Like if you ever work with guys in a recording studio, they have lost. I was talking about Sarah and the bottom end yesterday, and you thought I was making some sort of crude anatomical reference. I was not. I was saying that Sarah's headphones
are
very...
not even like lower end. Like my headphones were cheap.
No. I'm just saying they were very bass heavy. Your headphones are kind of boomy and sort of. I realize we're
this
back to headphone talk.
Headphone conversation.
I'm just saying.
Think we're back for 20 minutes about soda.
That's a 10 share. This headphone.
This is the kind of conversation you see on C-SPAN that lasts for about 3 hours between book notes.
We keep up with this headphone talk. We'll be doing that. We'll be sitting next to, what's his name? Blah, 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 Damashek. Any minute now. No, but Sarah's headphones were very bass heavy, and it was a lot,
everything kind of sounded like this,
which is fine, but it's not what I was used to. But if you know guys who work in a recording studio, they lose all their high end, which is the treble, which is why if you listen to some guys who produce records, everything sounds very shrill, because they can't ever hear it, so they never think there's enough treble. Just like, just keep turning it up! And they just keep turning, because they can't hear that it's there. So this sizzle that's happening on Tim's microphone, this crackle, is probably just in the register, because that's the first part of your hearing you lose. Is everything that's like high, everything that's high pitched. Which is why Tim can't hear how badly his microphone is cracking.
Okay, so should I go to another microphone?
Oh, yeah, let's find that other microphone that's in the studio here that... Oh, no.
Should I share Sarah Dillon's microphone?
It isn't that bad.
It's not that bad.
All right, well, let's keep
going. Sort of the motto of this radio station and this show. It'll do! That really should be our new positioner.
It'll do.
Our new slogan shouldn't be solid state rated. It's good enough! Shut up and listen! Quit your bitching!
We'll be back to today's headphone hangout in just a moment. Well, first, we're going to do a little news here.
Okay.
So the original question was, who watched Rockstar Supernova last night?
That would be me. I did watch.
I didn't.
Okay.
Because then your storm wouldn't be in the bottom.
Right. And yeah. It was boring. I shouldn't say that. But it had nothing to do with storm. The episode itself was stretched out for commercials.
Well, it's because they were padding the whole thing. Did you watch it at all?
No,
I didn't watch it. No, it was because...
And then for some reason, they just had... One girl sing a song again.
No, they had that Delana girl, the crazy girl. They had her sing again. Well, now, but see, I continue to not be worried about it.
Are you sure?
I'm not. No, she ain't nothing, baby.
Why did she sing and nobody else?
Because they had her.
Oh, the guy they didn't like who sang a Duran Duran song, and they all turned up their noses to it.
No, we should save this and do a full recap. Do we have some noise?
I do have some noise.
Do we have some random clicking and popping about this?
There, ma'am.
Do we have some random overdriven sound that we can...
So Tommy Lee, after saying, I really hate to do this, and had a big grin on his face.
As he was smiling, like, dude, I hate to do this to you, voting you off callously and heartlessly. Dude, it breaks my heart. And he's like grinning. He's just got this huge toothy grin the entire time.
He couldn't have been happier. So he finally said he was going out home during last night's elimination round of the CBS reality program.
You know what's at stake here? It's freaking huge.
Can I just tell you, with every passing moment, I hate that guy more.
Yeah.
It doesn't help by the... I hate
Dave
him.
Navarro has to go.
No, I like Dave Navarro.
To no end.
See, we're doing that thing. We're doing the Stormwatch now.
At first, I thought he was Father Guido Sarducci from the 70s, but it's a different Dave Navarro.
Father Guido Sarducci. Listen to that. Boy, that's... you know, we were talking about how there's certain...
I just left half the audience behind.
I was going to say, you know, there's certain noises that, you know, only dogs can hear? Uh-huh. That's a joke that only people over 35 can hear.
I'm one.
That is the dog whistle of jokes. It's a whole lot of blah, 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 Father Guido Sarducci. And, like, everybody Sarah's age just hears, like, a... and it's like, it doesn't make any sense at all. All right. You know what we should do someday? We should do an experiment where we have somebody who's 20... on the phone, somebody who's like 35 and like somebody who's 50, and they will just check in randomly and see what percentage of the, it's like a mini sort of a focus group, just to see what percentage, you know, what demographics in the audience and what percentage of the audience gets what jokes. Because if I just sit here and, you know, if we were just to sit here and make like, you know, we are wild and crazy guys, you know, it's like who, there's probably a whole strata of people out there have no idea what we're even talking about.
You're right. Can we play the entire soundbite?
No.
It says 21 seconds here. I was wondering, it says 21 seconds on my sheet.
No, because I got distracted by how much I dislike Tommy Lee, which pains me.
And for me, it's Dave Navarro.
I don't understand that. How can you do... What is there to dislike about Dave Navarro?
He has a bad attitude.
He has
a bad attitude.
He wears bad makeup. He's a little mini-man.
What are you, still back at Manchester Prep? He has a bad attitude.
I mean, he looks like an older Eddie Munster.
Yeah, there's nothing attractive. He looks like a bobblehead. He wears so much foundation, you can see.
Are we talking about the same guy, Dave Navarro?
The one who's married to Carmen Electra?
Yeah, the host from Jane's Addiction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with Dave Navarro.
He's just like the squat little thing.
The squat little thing.
That wears too much makeup. His eyebrows bother me, too.
Oh, this show's going to last a long time.
Our show? Or that show?
This show.
No, this will be the last season for Rockstar, probably. But it doesn't matter. Storm is surely the only thing. I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm not going to pretend that we're old school Rockstar fans.
People know I'm not.
I'm not. Yeah, we're not going to pretend that. No, I'll be watching Rockstar next season. I don't care. We only care because Storm's on there. I'll tell you that right now. In case anybody tunes in and thinks this is like that horrible day where we talked about American Idol for 4 hours or whatever and everybody wanted to kill us, which I only did because Sarah wanted us to.
Oh, yeah, right.
Trying to do a little retcon
I'm
there.
I'm sure, yeah.
But no, I will tell you this right now. We will not pretend to the contrary. We only care about Rockstar Supernova because of Storm Large.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand the Dave Navarro hate, though. That seems a little,
Yeah, he just seemed,
He's a cool guy. He's got charisma.
Mm.
Yeah. These are jerks. Fine. All right, well, let's come back. Let's do this because we didn't even play the soundbite. Let's just come back and do this later on, and we'll do like a whole...
Oh, we can do that.
Not a long segment, because there wasn't a lot about Storm last night, although there was that cool stuff of them living at the mansion and getting all drunk, so there was that.
Yeah.
So we'll do the Storm Watch, for which we will have a sounder next week, by the way. I haven't gotten assembled, but I have the elements. I meant to get it done last night, it just didn't happen. I'm going to step in and do what needs to be done. I will create the Storm Watch sound, because that's clearly, that has to, I've got to, you know... Sometimes you just got to step up as a man and do it yourself. So I'll be doing that this weekend. We'll talk Rockstar Supernova then next hour. Oh, Sean here has had Coke Black. Sean, hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, what's up?
Okay, so I had the Coke Black, and I know for a fact you can find it at the 7-Eleven on the corner of Powell and 82nd. Because that's where I found it.
That's like one of two remaining 7-Elevens in the state,
Squid
by the way.
Yeah, Squid just wrote and said that he got it at 7-Eleven.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
7-Eleven, because there's that... Powell and where? 82nd?
Powell and 82nd.
Oh, I know the one you're talking about. And then there's another 7-Eleven on Powell and like 41st, right?
Yeah, there's like three or four up 82nd, all within general vicinity of each other.
Too bad. The gradual extinction of 7-Elevens, not that I have any problem with Plaid Pantry, but the gradual extinction of 7-Elevens saddens me because those are a huge part of the American landscape in my head, the part of Rick Emerson's America. And so it kind of bothers me that I am sad that 7-Elevens are vanishing. They are, it's an icon. So anyway, well, whatever. Okay, so, was it good?
Did you ever have those coffee candies? Like, have you ever had those?
Somebody said that again yesterday, but I don't think I've ever actually had one.
It's like a Frappuccino. If they put it into a hard candy form and then just pumped in tons of sugar. And so basically the Coke Black is basically really, 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 really sweet coffee with a Coke flavor added to it. So
this is not winning me over.
Sweet.
Yeah, I'm not being won over by this. This is like that time I had Thai iced tea because I'm a big iced tea fan. And would you like Thai iced tea? Yes, bring me some Thai iced tea. And
Thai iced coffee's good.
It was way too sweet for me, though. I can't take stuff that's really, really sweet. And it was just, yeah, it was... All right. All right. Thank you, Sean.
Yeah, no problem. You have a good day.
Thank you. Thank you. No, good day to you, sir. All right. Okay.
Let's break.
You're drumming your fingers nervously. Have you had too much caffeine today?
No, I haven't had any caffeine. That's why I need to run and get some coffee.
You got to have some caffeine.
Yeah.
All right. Here's what's coming up. Gary Baumgarten thinks he's calling about the New Jersey budget. We're really going to talk to him about a guy attacking people with a saw. Saws and a teddy bear. No one mentioned in any subsequent news story. That's the really puzzling thing about it. They mentioned it once, and he's clutching a teddy bear while attacking people with a power saw.
Well, they don't do the research I do.
No. By research, do you mean making things up? Or was it really there?
It was really there.
That's what I thought. I'm just clarifying.
I don't make things up on every story.
No. That's attention, Dan. You bastard. You weren't here for Dan, Sarah. You missed the dark moment when Dan called the show. Dan, who was horrified that we did not draw a clear distinction on the air between news and commentary, and that listeners might be led astray by our commentary, thinking that they were facts, when in fact it was mere conjecture.
Especially if children were listening.
Yes, what about the... Won't someone, for the love of God, think about the children?
At least Dan was speaking for them.
Yes, it's true. Yeah, there's some joke there with that map on my website, but I don't know what it is.
Couple? Do you hear that booming?
That's a country rap.
Man, Smokey's deaf.
Is what? I don't understand what you're asking me.
Oh, no, I hear really
loud
music. You
can hear some rapping going on here.
Okay. No, let's break now.
Okay.
It's 5:03. I think we're all going deaf and crazy, by the way. Tim can't hear the fact that his microphone sounds like this. Sarah's hearing mysterious country rapping in her head. All right. I'm playing 3 seconds of a soundbite and then thinking we've played the whole thing and that it's the 1 o'clock hour already. All right, you stay there. It is the Rick Emerson Show. Back after this. Are we getting Storm today? Fantastic. All right. Well, we'll figure that we come back. We'll tell you when we're going to be talking to Storm Large today. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Rick, here is a link to an online nursing. I'm reading part of the email. Online hearing test. I don't even want to take that. Because I'm just going to tell me that I'm going deaf. I just prefer not to know. I just prefer to ignore the obvious until everything is just a series of vague buzzes in my ear.
We have no right to complain, though. There are others with even worse jobs. How would you like this to be you? This is hot off the presses here. A semi truck carrying a load of crushed cars has tipped over, trapping the driver inside. This is going on right now at Northeast Marine Drive at I-205. So emergency personnel are trying to cut this guy out from underneath all these crushed cars.
Using the jaws of life, no doubt.
Yeah.
Man, I got to tell you, when I was a kid, my grandfather, was a firefighter. And so I got to see this demonstration of the jaws of life one time. And it was kind of terrifying because they didn't work at all. The jaws of life completely failed to help anyone. He was like, we're going to give a demonstration now of how the jaws of life would be used to cut this man. And it was like, they had a car that they had set on fire. Like, there was no gas inside of it, but they had covered the car with, like, a flammable substance. They had set it ablaze with a dummy inside. And they're like, now watch how we will use the jaws of life to extricate the man from the burning car. And then it's like it completely failed, and then the dummy caught on fire and melted. It was like a bad Simpsons episode. And all of us in the front row are like, just being terrified by the dummy catching on fire.
Don't they usually do that before a prom time? Burn some dummies in the car?
Oh, man. Well, they did that when we would go to prom. We had an extra, even though we had all passed, I think, traffic safety by then. Mm-hmm. The traffic safety teacher came and gave us a special little, exactly, the special little, whatever, the demonstration. You know, where they show you the videotape of the people who've been burned alive in the cars?
Oh, we had a live demonstration of people being burned alive.
Where they just killed someone?
No, where we had to go and sit in the stadium, and they would get the whole school, and they would have this tarp in the middle, and then they'd lift up the tarp, and there would be these two cars smashed into each other.
Yeah.
And it would be like the demonstration of the drunk driver, and they had students with, like, you know, blood painted on them. It freaked me out. I still remember that. And, you know, everyone's laying in there like they're dead, and they would, like, cut apart the cars and get these people out, and they had the helicopter fly in and take them away.
Did you ever have the guy who came in? Because every school has a guy like this. Some guy that was injured or demaimed or horribly disfigured in a car wreck, and he would come, it can happen to you. And which is sad. I mean, I'm, you know.
His ear is attached to his nose now.
he has to hobble in on, like, you know, he's pushing himself along like Eddie Murphy in Trading Places, just, you know,
playing an accordion with his toes.
On a skateboard. But they would bring some guy in who had been horribly maimed in a car wreck. They also did this with the tobacco thing. Mm-hmm. They brought in a guy who, like, had no lower jaw. I mean, it's like he had no, I don't even know how he ate. I guess he just sort of spooned it into his neck or something. But it was, no, he had an upper jaw. But he had been, like, you know, he'd thought it was.
What school did you go to? I didn't have any of this.
Perhaps my city was not like others. I think they may have made many of these sort of demonstrations and, what's the word I'm looking for? Not a demonstration, but a sort of an...
Scare tactics?
Well, you know, it was like an assembly where you would sort of like a presentation. I think they may have made many of these illegal. I think at some point parents may have decided that they didn't want their kids seeing like a guy with, you know, with no head, you know, being brought in on a gurney, like, look at kids, don't drink, you know, and it was... But they brought this guy in, and he thought it was cool to put a dip between his cheek and gum. And so it was some guy who'd been chewing tobacco. And then, of course, you fast forward, like, you know, 3 years later, big holes in his face. And then, like, you know, jaw flaking away. And then he fast forward another, and they had, like, the slide, you know, the slide, the passage of time. And then they bring the guy walks in, and he's literally, like, they've removed his lower jaw. And so he's just got like an upper jaw.
So is his tongue just like hanging out?
No, it was like he'd had all this bad plastic surgery, but this is like late 80s plastic surgery.
Like a shiny chin.
He just had a metal, sort of a hinge and a piece of wood. But no, I don't exactly know what they did, but he lost his jaw. They had to remove his lower jawbone, his lower mandible. And his tongue, by the way, they had, Eddie Van Halen style, they'd had to take off large sections of his tongue. And so they bring him into the auditorium, and this is before I was old enough to know you just skip all the assemblies at school, which I don't think you can do anymore in the post-Columbine era. I think they have guards there to make you stay at school. But before I knew to skip these things, I would sit there at the assembly, and they brought this guy in. His name was Sean something or other. And it was like, kid, you don't want to be eating tobacco. You know, just a guy talking about chewing tobacco, which is scary and terrifying now. When you're 16, it's hilarious. It's kind of hilarious now, actually. But when you're 15 or 16, you are like the least empathetic person on earth. And all that is like 40 minutes of free comedy. It's like Robin Williams' night at Catch a Rising Star. You know what I mean? It's like going into the comedy store on the strip and George Carlin has dropped in unannounced when they're bringing in a guy who has no jaw. You think it's funny? I have no jaw. You know, and you do think it's funny. You think it's the best thing you've ever seen. You would gladly just stay there all afternoon and watch that guy try to talk.
Maybe we should have him instead of the ventriloquist.
Fantastic.
Who's his agent?
The ironic thing about having that ventriloquist in the studio, in addition to the fact that you can't see it, is that if he does his job well, no one will know. Like, if we're just sitting here in the studio with a ventriloquist, the better he does his job, in the audience, you'll just think that we'll have some guy here. The less interesting it will be.
Maybe we should call the William Morris Agency and ask for the guy with no jaw.
A ventriloquist with no jaw. If we had that confluence, that would be interesting. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show a man who is horrified to be part of this program, a man who regrets his involvement with the show on a daily basis, CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten. Hello, Gary.
Good afternoon.
The hell was that?
I thought it was Rube. You don't tell me. I can't see the call screening. I forgot.
It's never Rube. It's Rube. Rube's always at
1:30. I'm sorry.
Somebody has to go to timeout. You have to sit in the corner.
Oh, okay.
Wear the pointy hat. Hello, Gary. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. How are you?
Oh, we're having the best show ever. Well, don't glare at me. I didn't play the wrong song.
I can't see the call screening. Whatever.
You know, it's a poor workman that blames her tools,
yeah,
Sarah.
Sure. Are you my tool, Rick?
Day's not over. Hi, Gary. How are you? Are you having a fantastic day?
Oh, my God. What a day today has been. With all the developments here in New York on this plot to blow up tunnels and bridges.
What?
Just another day in paradise.
Well, no one told us. No one told us about that.
Nobody told you about that.
No. Did Laura at CNN tell you that there was a plot to blow up bridges and tunnels?
No, she was too busy asking me how to change the color on her MySpace page.
Well, they've got their priorities in the right place at CNN's booking department, Gary.
What story did they tell you I was working on?
We're talking about two different things here. When I got the CNN prep sheet this morning, this whole day has just been a look behind the curtain. But when I got the CNN prep sheet today, it claimed that you were talking about, which undoubtedly you were at some point in the last year, you were talking about the New Jersey budget, North Korea, and then this gay marriage decision. And so, but I had figured you would probably talking about this guy who was attacking people on the subway. We called Laura Caviezel to book you about the New Jersey budget, and then I was also going to be asking you about the subway attack. At no point did she mention this business of plotting to blow up anything, because she spent 20 minutes on the phone with Sarah Dillon trying to figure out how she, Laura, could change the color on her MySpace profile.
Wow.
That's exactly
I'm not going to comment, because I think at this point, if I do any kind of commenting, it's only going to get us all in trouble. Well, maybe not you.
No, it doesn't matter to me, brother. Comment all you like. Roop does it.
My God. That's very interesting. Let me put it that way.
Yes.
But you know what? This is the only show that I'm ever on where people actually do get the behind-the-scenes look. I mean, yesterday we were talking about headsets. And today we're talking about screw-ups.
No, it's true. By the way, I'm wearing brand new headphones today. I'm wearing the Sony MV6s, which are fantastic.
There you go.
All right. Well, okay. Well, I hate to... I'm sorry for being making such light of this when apparently there's stuff happening. I am just learning this as you tell me about this. What is going on?
Well, basically what happened is that there was a plot that the FBI uncovered. It was on the Internet. They were communicating on the Internet, and they were plotting to blow up tunnels between New Jersey and New York, and they've had a guy in custody in Lebanon for about about a month now, and they were searching for eight other people who are involved in the plot. But today, the New York Daily News broke the story, and that forced them to scramble. They arrested two of the other people. Five are still at large, and they were forced to come out and acknowledge that this was, you know, a credible threat against the subway system. I'm sorry, against the tunnel system
right.
in New York City. So.
Damn.
Here you go. Here we go again. Another day and another plot in New York City.
It's just completely bizarre. I mean, I don't know. And you just wonder. This is like, because there were those guys. Oh, McCarthy was somewhere. There was those guys. Was it in Florida? But those guys in Florida that they busted a while back, those guys were nitwits, though. They didn't have anything going on. Were these guys, it sounded like this was fairly serious? That this was like the real, this was a real legitimate
yeah.
threat?
They really believed that this was the real deal, but they nipped it early enough in the bud. That they hadn't even come and done their surveillance, and they hadn't procured their explosives. They hadn't even been here in the United States to their knowledge. But it was a real credible threat. I talked to some people involved in the investigation, and they really believe that the information that they were able to get has saved the lives of many people here in the United States.
Let me ask you this. Just, and this is the thing I just wonder about personally. As a guy, you know, you live in New York. Do people, I mean, we're now... And we're not, you know, to be a big buzzkill, but we're coming to whatever, the fifth year anniversary of the 9/11 and thing. Do people in New York, I mean, just on a generalized basis, do they worry about this stuff, or are they at a point in New York where they're just sort of zen with it, like, what are you going to do? And they just go through the day and they don't think about it.
Well, you know, the canned answer I always give to that is that people are just used to it. There have been so many threats. There's been the threat against the subway system in general. They broke up the plot to blow up the Herald Square station near Macy's. They broke up the plot to blow up the station in Brooklyn.
Right.
They broke up the plot to blow up the Brooklyn Bridge. You know, and people hear about this stuff and they just go upon their daily life. Now that's the canned answer I give. But let me give you anecdotally a specific, because earlier today I was riding the train into the city. Because
right.
I didn't want to get stuck, frankly, leaving this afternoon. Everybody's going to the shore.
Right.
And, you know, you don't want to get stuck in that kind of traffic on a Friday. So I was riding the train into the city, and they sent me a message. They needed me to go live with one of our affiliates, another affiliate, this morning while I was on my way to work. Well, it was a 9:20 a.m. Eastern time live shot with the station. And usually the train is in by 9:20, but it was running late. And so... We're sitting in the tunnel under the Hudson River, you know, one of the tunnels that potentially
sure.
was the target of
sure.
the attack. And I'm talking, you know, like this, conversationally with
right.
the host of the show. And the woman next to me freaks out. She starts screaming, I mean, literally screaming. You're making me very upset. You shouldn't be talking about this while we're in the tunnel. This is a very inappropriate thing for you to be talking about on the train while we're in the tunnel.
Damn.
Screaming at me, you know. You would have loved it if it had been on your show. I don't know whether this person liked it so much. I would thought she was going to start hitting me.
Why does that never happen when you're talking to us?
I know.
It's unfortunate.
You recruit somebody.
Well...
Hey, would you scream at me here just for a second?
Yeah, seriously. But, I mean, but she's kind of... You know, but she's sort of the exception. I mean, it seems like everybody's pretty cool with stuff.
Right. In general, I think people are cool. Right. And, you know, that was a little bit embarrassing because...
Yeah.
You know, everybody was probably
what did you do?
Anyway on the conversation, that's fine. I don't really care.
Did you just pretend that it wasn't happening? What did you do?
I put my finger in my other ear so I couldn't hear her.
That's the total New York response. Just ignore it. Just stick a finger in your ear and plunge on with your own affairs.
Hey, you got to keep talking. You got to keep taking care of your people.
Hey, that is our motto here, Gary.
That's right.
All right. Well, hey, enjoy your weekend. Stay safe, and we will talk to you sometime next week, my friend.
Sounds great.
All right, there you go, my Gary Baumgarten, live there in New York City. All right. Now, I was making a little hand gesture to Sarah during that call. I was saying, see, we got a connection with Gary. See, he gives the canned answer, but then for us, pulls back that curtain, gives us the real scoop. Why does nobody ever attack Gary when we're on the phone with him? It never happens. All right. There you go. Did you catch his response, by the way, when we told him that Laura had in no way... And I mean...
She really did not. She didn't offer anything.
20 minutes. Gary's a big fan of MySpace to begin with. What with, you know...
No, that was Roop, wasn't it, that was angry?
No, it's Gary that hates MySpace because his daughter, because he has a teenage daughter. Remember, he went on that whole tirade that day about, you know, damn MySpace, you know, and get off my lawn and that whole thing. So the fact that Laura Caviezel, who we were really not trying to get in trouble there, but what are you going to do? Spent 20 minutes today talking to, how can I update my MySpace color Sarah?
Well, and it is really frustrating because it's right before the show. You had to get my headphones for me because I couldn't get her off the phone.
So, I don't know. Laura, is there any news happening? I don't know. What does this button do? How do I put up pictures of Sean Cassidy? You know, or whatever. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, by the way, we're going to be talking to Storm Large at 1 o'clock today. So we got to make sure we get out of this break on time. It's 1 o'clock, Storm Large. We'll be calling here, and well, I don't even know what I can ask her, though.
I guess we'll find out pretty quickly.
I mean, I guess she'll just not answer anything she can't answer.
Yeah.
But I mean,
or the phone line will go dead.
Yes, it'll just be like a click. That'll be it. All right. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Oh, there's no.
No, we're still in the news.
Oh, we are. Okay.
It's 12:45.
Well, time for the Bushwatch.
There's a big clock on the wall.
Residents, kind of ever. He's got the whole country saying, "That's my Bush." Life is hard. That's the price of fame when you're president.
Everyone knows your name.
Hey, what's that there? It's my Bush. I can't believe he's actually in the White House. That's our man. That's my Bush.
Sorry, I didn't mean to startle you there.
No.
Okay. All right.
President Bush said today is determined to rally world support, like he can do that, in confronting North Korea over its missile test.
He's decided the what?
He's going to rally world support.
That's like saying I've decided to go out and lift a car.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, whatever.
He wants to speak loud and clear. At the same time, I tell reporters, you know, the problem with democracy is it takes a while to get something done.
The problem with democracy. You know, there's nothing that fills me with the faith in my quasi-elected leaders like when they start a sentence with the problem with democracy.
At least he can start with freedom. That's for later. Meanwhile, the president tells Larry King he's concerned that U.S. troops are accused of killing innocent Iraqis.
These are very serious charges, and what the Iraqis must understand is that we will deal with this in a very transparent, upfront way. People will be held to account if these charges are true.
He also emphasized how wrong he believes it is for the U.S. to pull up stakes in Iraq right now.
We will lose if we leave too early.
We already did.
The stakes of success are vital, but a free Iraq is going to help inspire others to demand what I believe is the universal right of men and women.
Which is what?
We're not sure what that is.
He just left us hanging. That was a sentence fragment there. Mm-hmm. To demand what I believe is the universal right of men and women.
Freedom.
Well, maybe it's freedom. Who knows? Maybe it's just the ability to wear sassy shoes. He never really clarified it. Well, okay. There
just
you go.
Is.
Yeah, okay.
Bush has a suggestion for those upset about high gas prices.
In the short run.
Oh, wait. No, that's. I'm sorry. That's me. Jesus God, what's going on? Oh, I'm sorry. I've switched over to the.
What was that?
Well, when you play the final sound cut on Bank One, it automatically flips to Bank Two. Mm-hmm. I accidentally played the final sound cut on Bank One, and it flipped over to Sound Two, which I believe is Pirates of the Caribbean. I hope it's Pirates of the Caribbean.
This is number four.
Hope it's not Karl Rove or something.
The truth of the matter is, I would hope people would contact their members of Congress to insist.
That they lower the
price. They support the bill that we ran up to the Hill, which would have made it much easier to permit and construct refineries.
What?
Well, that's a suggestion.
This is his answer to what?
He wants to build more oil refineries.
What do we need more? All right. I mean, there's no.
What about clean coal technology?
No, this clean coal technology. Yes, it's like the. Never mind. Not even going to say it.
Pristine smog?
I wasn't even going to say it. Clean coal is in the dictionary next to compassionate conservative.
New story suggesting that the CIA has stopped looking for fugitive Osama bin Laden are not true, said the president.
In the short run, we will bring these people to justice. We'll use good intelligence. We'll share information with our allies. We'll work with friends.
And neighbors.
We'll bring people to justice. In the long run, the way you defeat this enemy is spread of liberty.
On rye bread. With peanut butter and jelly.
It is worth noting, by the way, that during that soundbite, we weren't even listening. Sarah started looking at her nails. Tim was, like, rifling through news.
It hurts.
I think we are now on fumes with the observations we can make about George W. Bush. And I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. You must realize that is true. I don't know what we're going to do. I have no
idea.
We're
going to stand up for freedom. That's what we're going to do.
No, but I'm saying we as entertainers, I don't know what we're going to do. For the next 2 years.
I have some Joe Lieberman cuts coming up.
See, there you go. See, give me something I can work with. There's nowhere else to go with this. We've made every observation. We've made every joke. We've ridiculed every inefficiency and every inability in his syntactical structure. I got nothing. There's nothing left I can do.
Well, a Salem man returned from a weekend trip to find his car vandalized, and he thinks his stance on the Iraq war is behind it. He had two bumper stickers on the car that said support peace and advocate peace. Well, somebody spray painted the word traitor across his car.
You know what? I came out of my house this morning, and there's an SUV, and someone spray painted Earth Killer on the side of it.
I wonder
and
what that means.
It's a brand new, like, silver SUV, too, and it's spray painted red paint.
Yeah. This one's spray painted traitor. Take a look.
Man.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, they get tired of spray painting Asians everywhere.
Oh, yeah, that's I don't think there are any Asians down in Salem.
You know what I saw? I saw the most retarded bumper sticker yesterday, and it was at Trader Joe's, of course, which is where you see all of these. And everyone knows that you can't just have one bumper sticker if you're that type. You got to have like 80 of them. And they all got to say crap like pagan earth wicca goddess spoon. You know, just a bunch of crap that doesn't make any sense.
The coexist ones using all the different religious symbols.
Oh, God. It's just, you want to set fire to those cars and the people in them. Not that you should. I'm saying that would be wrong to do.
Well, people do get impatient about looking for parking spaces at Trader Joe's because they're never enough.
Oh, don't even get me started. Don't even get me started because that is the subject, Tim, of today's Enemy of the People, which we will get to later on.
That is a problem at Trader Joe's.
It's not just a problem at Trader Joe's, but I mean,
I want is vegan burritos.
No, you know what the thing is? And I got to tell you this. Yes. I have learned this, that the more likely you are to be some granola cruncher or the more likely you are to be some upscale Lake Oswego white person driving an SUV, the more you're going to goddamn dawdle when it comes to putting the stuff in your car and leaving the space when you're done with it. You know what I mean? Those are the guys who are always just sitting around leaning on the car talking to somebody they met in the apricot aisle. Sitting there carrying on some spirited conversation while there's 15 cars in a row and I'm sitting there with my blinker turned on indicating that I'm ready to use the space. Mm-hmm. So I'm at Trader Joe's yesterday. Did you ever see a bumper sticker that's just so vague and stupid it just makes you angry? And I'm sitting there behind... It was probably a hybrid of some kind, of course. It's a powdery purple kind of bumper sticker. And in big letters, it just says, breathe. I don't understand the point of that bumper sticker. What is the purpose of a bumper sticker that says, breathe? Tell me now, someone.
I don't know.
There's no, it's like that bumper sticker I saw that said, we're not in Kansas anymore. What the hell does that mean? What's wrong with you? You're grumpy.
Well, you told me to be on time, and storm's coming at 1. We've got a 6-minute break.
I'm talking. Sarah's looking down with a scowl on her face, picking lint off her pants.
I saw a K car the other day, with the one that's asked who shot JR.
Okay. We should break here. Wait, hold on. What is it with storm? Okay, so is it still happening at 1? Oh, it's no longer happening at 1. It will be happening today. She's busy at the mansion.
She has to be cleared by the Ministry of Truth.
Okay. Uh-huh. Well, let's break anyways, just so we're kind of ahead of the curve. So we'll break here. It's 503-733-2170. Coming up later on, Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio, Jim Roop from Los Angeles, and then Storm at some point today. So back after this, we'll close the Bushwatch. We'll break. It's the Rick Emerson Show. You stay right there. Don't go anywhere.
Resident, kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying... That's my bird.